Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama.
All right. Hey. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. Of course, I want to hear from you. Give me a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're too afraid to call me, hey, don't be afraid to email the brother. Questions, comments, concerns. SmoothDrama@SmoothDrama.com. Once again, that email address, SmoothDrama@SmoothDrama.com. I want to hear from you. In the meantime, in between time, of course, I want to social network with you also. If you're not watching me live on Tag right now, feel free to, if you have Facebook, if you're one of them old people, as the kids say, that have Facebook, you can go to my Smooth Drama page on Facebook. Myself or Mr. J will add you, and you say once you're in the group, you see we talk about any and all things. There is no subject unturned in our group. We get wild in there. And basically, just Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me. I'll add you back, and we can talk a taste on it. I'm an open kind of guy like that. I'd be remiss if I didn't say this is the Smooth Drama happy belated birthday to one of the all-time greats, Rakim. If you don't know who Rakim is, I ain't even going to explain it to you. You don't count. Eric being Rakim, but Rakim, one of the greatest MCs ever, not to curse and be hard as hell. How do you do that? It's crazy. But once again, this is definitely a big shout out to Rakim Allah, one of the greatest MCs to ever do it. He turned 50 Sunday. And while we're shouting out Rakim, I guess we can talk about that State of the Union address or whatever that was that your president that y'all voted for did today. It was interesting. He was up there and they made sure to make that beeline and show all the black people, like, hey, there's black people in this piece. It's black people in this piece. So they just kept showing them. One of the highlights, lowlights of his speech, he was talking about, yeah, it's the lowest unemployment for black people. Thing that he was proud of. It's the lowest unemployment, reported unemployment levels of black people in the history of this country. And, you know, kept waiting for him to say since slavery. As we know, we was 100% employed during slavery. But that doesn't count in the history because we were employed, but we didn't get paid. So I guess we can't count that. Guess not. Yeah. And so he was talking about tax cuts. You know, he came out with that tax cut for the rich. And he made sure to show the black dude, like, hey, he's going to take the money, some of the money from his tax cut, and he's going to buy and invest in the house. I hear he's a good welder. I'm like, whoo. But Let me see, I'm not gonna stay on this too long. He also talked about the opioid crisis. You know, it's a crisis because white people are on opioids, and he came out with talking about we must get tougher on drug dealers. Not that he's gonna arrest any of the heads of these pharmaceutical companies, but yeah. He said, we got to get tougher on these drug dealers. It's like, yeah, the opioid crisis is because of y'all legal drugs. Ain't nobody from the hood, well, at least not from my hood, slinging in the suburbs. But hey, I guess that's a story subject for another day, another time. Whatever it, I thought it was hilarious. But what I also thought was hilarious, I don't know if some of you saw that, but remember there was Monique all over social media talking about boycott Netflix. Netflix was trying to offer me $500,000, and that's it. But then it comes out that she was lying. They offered her a little bit more than $500K. They offered her a chance at $3 million, but they said that she had to do a live audition for the network people, and so she, I guess, thought it was beneath her and turned it down. Because I guess she asked if Dave Chappelle and Kevin Hart, did they do an audition, which they said no. And so she said, then neither should she. Yeah, so when apparently when she contacted them and she asked, like, hey, you know, I'm an Academy Award winner. Why do I have to audition? Well, and I mean, you could say she had a point per se, right? I mean, maybe she had a point. Is he saying Dave Chappelle didn't audition, Kevin Hart didn't audition? But I think, and you know, she was saying Amy Schumer got a certain amount of money too, and so why would she have to audition? And I would just say this, and this is not me trying to be sexist or apologize for being sexist, but I don't think too many people were checking for Monique. I'm not saying that she wouldn't have been funny and that she may not have killed it, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, Dave Chappelle was the highest selling DVD ever. He was the most popular comedian in the world. Everybody knew Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle left off the scene, and people were clamoring, and he had been on the circuit for a while. And same with Kevin Hart. Whether you like his comedy or not, he's out there. I mean, he's hot. He's in every movie. He's doing sold out shows everywhere. I haven't heard that Monique was out on the track. I hadn't heard that she was selling out shows everywhere. Now, granted, it could be because she's a woman. I don't disregard that. But at the same time, I don't think that she has a huge clamoring at this particular point in time in her career. But, hey. You know, she felt she stuck to her guns. I don't feel like I need to audition. Okay. And so, I mean, you forfeit your money. And to ask us to boycott because you had a philosophical difference. And don't get me wrong, I understand that. I mean, and, you know, if you're gonna hold the line and stick to your guns, do that. I applaud that. But, you know, you have to do that on your own. you know, understand that's the consequences. You know, to tell everybody to boycott because you had the dispute. I mean, it's not like cop killings or anything like that. We need to boycott. And quite frankly, I always am tired of people who talk about boycotting. And we're talking about rich people, mind you, or people who have influence and had money. When they say, hey, we need to boycott this, we need to boycott that, make your own. Build your own up. Make your own, build your own up, and you ain't got to worry about boycotting Netflix. Bring folks to you. I mean, if we're boycotting, it's because you're putting an alternative up. I mean, because at the end of the day, we're boycotting for Monique, and what does Monique bring to the community? Nothing. I haven't seen her out there on the front lines talking about the injustices for Black folks, but we should be out on the front lines for her because that she got offered $500K. When I'm guessing most of the people who are reading about that, if they could get their hands on $500K, they'd be like, hell to the yeah. And I'm doing that Black girl thing where they'd be like, hell to the yeah, where you do it and you like clapping like, I'm really going to do something when you're not. Anyway. Oh, Monique. Malcolm Monique, or should I say Monique X. Speaking of Monique X, women are out there, apparently, and dozens of women who were protesting R. Kelly outside of his concert speak out against sexual assault. And I was like, because they were like, yeah, one of the spokespersons was like, over the past, it's been like Mike Tyson, Clarence Thomas, CeeLo Green, Nate Parker, Bill Cosby, Russell Simmons, and they say all of them stand accused by Black women and girls now piecing their lives back together after rape, sexual harassment, and abuse. Unknown members of Black men within our communities, celebrity and non-celebrity, have been reported by their victims, the group said in a statement to Blavity. I was down. It's like, oh yeah, you protesting R. Kelly, and you know, when you put him up to Bill Cosby, Russell Simmons, and all these other folks, I don't want to do this, but I have to disagree. I mean, I don't see R. Kelly and Bill Cosby in the same light. As messed up as the situation is, I don't see them in the same light because, quite frankly, R. Kelly has people who are volunteering to be on his team. They're volunteering to be on his team. It's not like Bill. He's like inviting chicks up, getting them drunk, and then they wake up with their drawers around their ankle and their butt cheeks hurting. Maybe. If he used a toy. He's old now. But anyway, R. Kelly is just, you know, I mean, it's consensual. It's silly as hell. I don't get it. I get it, but I don't get it. But at the end of the day, what he's doing is he's not raping anyone. He's not forcing anyone to do anything. They're there. I mean, supposedly he has a little place where he keeps his little concubine. I guess we make up a word, concubinage, going. So he's got his concubine of ladies, and they're all there because they want to be. Now, you know, you've heard my take on it, and I've spoken extensively about it. It's like, you know, these punk-ass fathers, parents in general, who would, oh, my daughter, your daughter 22, 23. Your daughter ain't 14. Now, and once again, like the parent, when he was 10 in the kid's face, I'm a parent. If he's peeing in my 15-year-old daughter's face, I'm going to punch him. I'm coming after him. Yeah, he'll press charges on me, maybe. But he'll be looking over his shoulder. I mean, I'm thinking that's kind of, you let him know, hey, it don't happen on my watch. And that's it. But, you know, this other stuff about protesting and putting R. Kelly in the same light, damn it. Y'all got me defending the dude that I don't like, but I kind of have to say, no, it's different. It's not raping. It's all consensual. Can it be bad if it's consensual? Yes and no. It's bad on the girl's part because you're like, really, y'all going for that? But at the same time, hey, really, they're going for that. Anyway, speaking of going for that, because this is the happy belated birthday Rakim show. I'd be wrong if I didn't just play some Rakim. This is like, you know, in the top five hip hop songs forever. Eric B and Rakim. I ain't no joke.
Let the mic smoke. Now I slam it when I'm gonna make sure it's broke. When it's gone, no one gets on. Cause I won't let nobody press up and mess up the scene I set. I like to stand in the crowd and watch people wonder, damn. But think about it, then you understand. I'm just an addict, addicted to music. Maybe it's a habit. I gotta use it. Even if it's jazz or the quiet storm, I don't can beat up, converted into hip hop form. Fight a rhyme and comedian. Every show you see me in deep concentration. Cause I'm no comedian. Jokers are wild. If you wanna be tame, I treat you like a child and you're gonna be named. Another enemy, not even a frenemy. Cause you'll be cried in the end when you pretend to be competing. Cause I just put your mind on pause and I complete it. You compare my mind with yours. I wake you up and I just stare in your face. You seem stunned, remember me? The one you got your idea from. But soon you start to suffer. The tuna gets rougher when you start to stutter. That's when you had enough of fighting it amongst your choke. You can't provoke, you can't cope. You should have broke because I ain't no joke. Joke. You're expressing the rhyme that I'm styling. This is what we all sit down and write. You can't make it, so you're taking home breaking and bite. Two seasons and bits of all my hip hop hits. Get the dial down, packed in the time is quick. Put my tape on pause and ask for more than yours. Then you figure you're ready for the neighborhood chores. But EMCEE, don't even try to be. When you come up to speak, don't even lie to me. You like to exaggerate, dream and imagine it. Then change the rhyme around back and aggravate me. So when you see me come up free, or you'll be one of those seven MCs. They think that I'm a new jack, but only if they knew that. They who think wrong, or they who can't do that style that I'm doing. They might ruin patterns of paragraphs based on you. And you're all BDJ, if anything he played sound familiar, I'll wait to each take play him. So I'm a half to this, and broke, you can get a smack for this. I ain't no joke. Microphone like a grudge. See a hole of records so the needle don't budge. I hold a conversation cause what I invent. I nominated my DJ the president. When I'm CI, I'll keep a freestyle going steadily. To fuck her up and whistle my melody. But whatever you do, don't miss one. There'll be another rough rhyme after this one. before you know it, you're following the theme, waiting for the punchline. It gets a meaning like before, the moral of my story I'm telling. Nobody beats the art, so stop yelling. Save it, put it in your pocket for later, cause I'm moving the crowd and be a record fader. No interruptions till the mic is broke. When I'm gone, then you can joke. Cause everything is real on a serious tip. Keep playing, and I'd very quick, and I'd take you for a walk through hell. Read your dome, then watch your eyeballs swell. Guide you out of trouble, stay darkness. When it gets dark again, then I'ma spark this microphone, cause the heat is on. You see smoke in the furnace when the beat is gone. I'm no joke, no joke.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That, of course, was the great Rakim. 50 years old. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, man. Now, it's like, it's craziness out here. You know, this whole Me Too thing. I can't even express how it's like, really? Everybody's out there. And so everybody is like coming out. It's like, it's all out there. And I get it when the person's alive. You know what? Such and such did this. And they around and you won't get them back 20, 25 years later, 30 years later, I guess, because you didn't have a cup of courage to say it back in the day. Well, that chick who accused Tupac, and I don't mean to demean her, but, you know, it was sketchy then. She came out 25 years later with the details of her sexual assault. 25 years later, you know, Pac is dead. I mean, he's like dead. And at this point, because I'm not even going to say her name. I refuse to say her name. I'm not going to put her name ever out in the cosmos, because I mean, and maybe once again, it may sound that I'm being misogynist, sexist, whatever, but I just never believed it. Pac went to his grave denying that he did it. Not that that means anything, but I have a hard time with people like this, who come out and their stories are sketchy, you know, especially when, you know, because in there's a confliction here for me, right? I've got a serious confliction because, you know, I am for people who have been molested, raped. I'm for their rights, you know. So it's tough. And I won't say that I'm perfect on picking who's lying, who's not lying, because obviously I was not there. And, you know, to say I'm a Tupac fan, I mean, at that particular point in time, I was not a Tupac fan. You know, the whole Death Row Tupac, I wasn't really all that fired up by that. Tupac. I like the Oakland Tupac. But that's just me. But I'm digressing. The point being, 25 years later, yes, she reported it. No doubt. I mean, and like I said, he fought it, but I mean, he went to jail. He served 9 months. But for her to come out now, I'm like, why is she coming out now? It's like, oh, is she writing the book? I mean, I know the whole you Me Too thing. Maybe she's trying to get an interview on TV. I have a hard time, especially when somebody is gone. You know, if you're a real, and I say this like, if you're a real victim, when that stuff goes away, you kind of let that go. You kind of have to let it go. I mean, because you already said it. The man already was found guilty and went to jail. He went to jail. So you got justice. So that's kind of it. You know, I just have a hard time with people and with the whole I want to capitalize on somebody else's name, which is what it seems like she's doing. She's done a couple interviews. Anyway. Yeah. I'm gonna move on from this because I'm kinda bummed that I even talked about it. Cause it makes me kinda sick inside. But hey, it happens. Another thing that makes me sick inside is what's going on with stereotypes and the Cleveland Indians, they removed their chief Wahoo mascot. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Cleveland Indians had a mascot with the smiling red Indian. You know, it's like a cousin caricature of the black face, big lip, red, shiny lips, you know, black face, demeaning type of picture. And so they said, oh, yeah, you know what? We've been trying to get rid of it because when they went to the World Series a couple years back, you know, everybody was talking about it. And they said, yeah, we got to get rid of it. They didn't get rid of the name Cleveland Indians like the Washington Redskins won't do it. But they got rid of the mascot. I mean, because they don't think that is offensive. You know, because I bring that up, the blackface, because, you know, that's like if they was the Cleveland Jigaboos and they had the smiling black dude with the big eyes and the big lips and the bone in his hair like they used to put in. It's, ha, 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 ha. Oh, that's a cool mascot. You know, and that's how you Native Americans feel. Because Native Americans, probably the most. I'm trying to think of a horrific word that describes what happened to the Native Americans here. I mean, because we talk about, you know, black folk slavery. We talk about Jewish Holocaust. Nobody talks about, I mean, like the Native Americans. Like, I mean, it's kind of glossed over. But what the Native Americans went through, I mean, because we are in their country. We're still here. I mean, we're still here. And it's horrible. Because you talk about we're here, and they see, make America great again. They're thinking like, well, bring back the millions of Native Americans that were killed. Because that's that Holocaust that's never talked about. We always never forget when we talk about Holocaust, we dissing the Nazis, whatnot. But we never come to terms. I mean, we got this BS Indigenous People's Day. I don't know what is the Native American supposed to do with the Indigenous People's Day. Right? It's like, oh, it's not Christopher Columbus Day, it's Indigenous People's Day. They're like, man, we don't want no goddamn day. We want our country back. Not gonna happen, but don't give me a day. I don't want your day. You know, I'm Native American. I'd be like, I would send diarrhea in the box to Congress or the Senate every year. Like, you know, this is what I feel about your Indigenous People's Day. Take this Indigenous doo-doo. Taste it. I'm saying, it's like, you know, what you going to do in a day? Bring back them hundreds of tribes that are extinct now. This, you don't believe, I mean, because when you think about it, and this is the point that I always make to highlight and illustrate how horrible the extinction level of event was for Native Americans. How many Native Americans you went to school with? I know. It's like, well, there's not that many. I mean, but do you think that it was only like 100,000 Native Americans when we came to this country? No. They were spread out all across this country. Now they're not. They're sparsely spread out because there's not a lot of them left. Because you have gone, I've known two in my lifetime. I've known two Native American women, and I worked with both of them. You think about that for a second. I worked with both, and they were both old. One was Navajo, and one was Apache. I don't remember going to school with any of them. I've gone to school with a lot of Filipinos, a lot of Mexicans, a lot of white people, a lot of black people, a lot of Asians, different kind of Asians. Don't really remember going to school with a bunch of Native Americans. I would take a gander that there's a lot of people who haven't gone to school with a lot of Native Americans. Just because there are not a lot of Native Americans, unless you grew up on the reservation, which we did not. Because before the casinos were there, you didn't even want to go on the reservation. It was like, why would you put yourself through that torture? I had the misfortune of going to one of the reservations before the casino was up and very, very profitable. And I was like, hell no, I'm never coming over here again. But when we think of Holocaust and bad things, that we don't think like that. It's, you know, then that Native American thing, you know, they kind of lost Geronimo. You know, it kind of happened. Cowboys and Indians, John Wayne, he's great. that's where we at. When we think about that, it don't even get a mention. But we'll talk about Holocaust all day. And, I mean, rightfully so, you'll talk about other atrocities, slavery, whatnot. But, you know, as slavery was happening, it was, quote unquote, the extinction level. Because there are the Taino Indians that were in Jamaica, in the Bahamas, all those Caribbean islands, they don't exist anymore. But I'm gonna be done talking about reality stuff. We don't want to deal too much with reality. So I just talked about DMX. I guess that's reality too. DMX is going back to jail. I mean, is that not disheartening to you when you see cats, they get free and you're like hoping. You're like hoping, you know what? You can be free and you can just live. I mean, we get to a point where, you know, you see these rappers, you see older celebrities, whatnot, and when you see them get broken, ain't that like the saddest thing? It's like, it hurts my heart when I see it. Like, it's like DMX being sent back to prison after failing the drug test. I'm like, no, come on, DMX. Are you serious? Oh, leave that shit alone. So, you know, because it is the Rakim happy belated birthday day, I have vowed, even though it's been tough, not to cuss. I'm trying to be like Rakim. Rakim didn't cuss. He was hard as hell, and he didn't cuss. And so, in his honor, I'm trying not to cuss. You know how hard it is not to cuss when you really, 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 really want to cuss? Now, is it lack of vocabulary? No. I can come up with 1,000 unimportant words, inundate you with a plethora of words that fit criteria, yet they fit no criteria whatsoever. Yay. No. But it's tough. It's like, come on, DMX. You going back to jail? You want to be in jail? But I guess that's the whole part of his persona. He's like, not a nice person. I mean, he was keeping it really, really real in his lyrics, right? He was keeping it really real. No, I'm not a nice person. I will do anything. I will start lying to you and stealing your stuff. I mean, he was just on the front line with it. Literally. And unfortunately for him. But hey, it is what it is. You can't really say anything to somebody because they're kind of stuck, right? They're kind of stuck. I mean, now, I saw something that kind of made me laugh. The actor who played Barney, apparently he's a tantric healer. And, you know, he's like, I wish people didn't just think of tantra as just sexual. There's more than that. It's a spiritually based thing to unblock your energy. And I was like, man. You know, and I believe in that, you know, because there are people who block. There's the mental block, and sometimes you have to get over yourself by just taking a leap of faith and letting go. I mean, it's a tough thing to ask someone to say, you know what, free your mind. Because people don't understand that concept. I mean, when we talk about DMX and people like that who keep constantly getting in trouble, they can't free their mind. Now with tantric sex, help from Barney. I don't know, maybe not. But the freeing your mind thing, you know, if Tantra does that and if Barney can help you, hey boys and girls, I love you, you love me, take off your clothes so I can unblock your energy. That was terrible. But yeah. Unblock yourself. Free your mind and your ass will follow. I've said that 1,000 times. I'm going to say it 1,000 more. But I'm going to say it in my brain and it be a subliminal message to you while I go on break. This is Raphael Sadiq, Oakland. Stand up sometimes.
Let me tell you about my day. It's such a very long day. It started around 7. I can hear a praise. That's why I love Sunday morning, even when it was cold. There was always something burning that was good for my soul. As I walked through the yard, I could feel your presence, giving me the time of my life. And shower me with life lessons. Now I know what they mean when they said keep your head to the sky. And don't be too quick to fit in. And don't think you have to try. The truth is strange, so strange it is. You know it really works in my head. No matter how good you are, you know. They'll make you cry and cry. I'm so proud to be the young man I seem to be. With life on trouble, you get a smile on my face. And as I'm looking all around me, I think, how can I ever repay you? Mama was worth more than gold. She always tried to tell me the good is strange, so strange. You know it really hurts inside, yeah. And no matter how good you are, the people you know, they'll make you cry sometimes, yeah. It's been a few days when people truly let me down. I thank you so much just to bring me down. And they will rise to the just for their own self-motives and greed. Yes, it ain't nothing new, but it's something I gotta go through. Just for the strange, so strange it is. You know, and you feel sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, no matter how good you are, the people you know, they'll make you cry sometimes, yeah. How much more can I take before I shoot the kill? Don't let the message go hard, cause what you're feeling is very real, yeah. You know what feels good inside, yeah. I go through life with my head in the air. Say, oh Lord, help me there. Oh, you know sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. Nobody can tell me better than you about these things I would go through. Oh, you know sometimes, yeah.
Your host, Mr. F to N Word. That was Raphael Sadiq. Sometimes. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Whew. Then came to that part that you always been waiting for anxiously. Groundhog Day. What is the Groundhog Day message of the day today? Well, this one was real simple. It's was common to me, but apparently some people was upset. But of course, I'd be remiss if I did not let this play first.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Oh, what is that shit that happened again? Folks was upset at Kim Kardashian for some reason. I'm like, why are y'all mad at Kim Kardashian? I mean, you shouldn't even be paying attention to her ass to get mad at her. So, why are people mad at Kim Kardashian? Well, apparently, and they say cultural appropriation, which is hilarious. She posted a video on Snapchat that shows her hair in braids that supposedly resemble the Fulani style braids, which are inspired by the Fulani women of East and West Africa. But for some of these people, these culture, the culture protectors, they said, you know, they were mad because she credited her beads to Bo Derek. And I quote Kim Kardashian, "So guys, I got Bo Derek braids. I'm really into it." For some of you who don't know, and it's funny because I actually had this conversation talking about Bo Derek. Bo Derek did this movie called 10, where she got braids that traditionally sisters wear. She had the braids, and it was called 10. Like, oh, it's a white woman with braids. She's a 10. And that's, you know, for people like Kim Kardashian, they look up to that because they're like, oh, that's a great look. And, of course, Bo Derek started the trend because black people weren't on TV. Black women definitely weren't on TV. And they definitely didn't have braids, and they damn sure wasn't going to be starring in movies, at least none that were positive, where they were portrayed positively. But, you know, people, oh, she's cultural appropriation. And, you know, no, she's not. She's not appropriating culture. Your hair is not your culture. Your hair is your hair. And the way you wear your hair is the way you wear your hair. Somebody else wears it like that, they just wear it like that. It's not better than yours. I mean, I don't even understand why people sweat that type stuff. And, you know, it was like when Jeremy Lin had dreadlocks and people were up in arms, oh, how he gonna wear the dreadlocks? It's like, because he want to. It's not stealing. He stole nothing from me. If you want to talk about somebody stealing from you, you talk about, once again, the people who stole you from, I mean, people had more hate for Jeremy Lin than you would have for the slave masters who in the cultured bandits who stole you from your home country and brought you here. It's like we don't even bitch about that. You know, that's not even a real issue. We're bitching about somebody wearing a hairstyle that they like. I mean, last time I checked, imitation was the greatest form of flattery. And if somebody wanted to look like you, that's because you was rocking it right. And they wanted to rock it right just like you. Unfortunately, they can't rock it better than you because you are the originator. But instead of taking credit for being the originator, I'm trying not to cuss, for being the originator and being what everybody want to look like, you get mad because they want to look like you because they're more famous than you. Well, they're only more famous than you because you take the time to watch their ass. Why, I don't know. I'm going to say this, and I'm just, sisters, why do y'all watch this reality show? Trash trash. That you're watching other people have dinner. You're watching them go shopping. You're paying them because you're watching them go shopping and talk about each other and talk and diss other people. You mad because, oh, they're taking all the black men. I'm going to say this. You know, and it's something that, you know, I thought about, and I still may even dedicate a whole show to this. You know, black women, the anger and the vitriol that you show towards some folks. And I mean, even like, you know, I remember talking to some sisters at work and just talking to people in general. And, you know, sisters, I'm a strong black woman. They can't take it. They can't take a strong sister. It's like, I get it when I hear sisters, oh, strong black woman, I'm a strong sister. But there's kind and loving too. There's strength. We know you're strong because you're surviving. And it's a hard world, especially when you're talking about a world where everybody hates you and demeans you and thinks of you as lesser than human. So you being strong is a given. And don't get me wrong, because there are a lot of brothers that are foul, but I'm focusing on the ladies, the first teachers. The ones that everybody get their stuff from, right? You're the first teacher. We see you first. As a babe, we come from you. Everything we get comes from you, sister. Whether it be the nourishment from the mother or just watching you. I mean, because girls mature faster than boys. And the black women and the attitude and the strength. And when you talk, you know, the focus is on the strength and what you're not going to have. But where's the focus on you? I've talked to many sisters who, you know, I've heard what they're not going to have, what they're not going to take, and talk about the indignities that they have suffered at the hand of men in white women and women of other races. But what about you? I get the indignities. I get the indignities that you suffered, all the pain and suffering that comes with this existence. But what about you? Can you live in your beauty? Can you just be? And focus on you. I mean, a lot of times we focus on, you see, I'm talking about this Kim Kardashian. We're focusing on other folks who want to be like you. I mean, people are dying in the streets every day, sister, to look like you, to walk like you, to sound like you. I mean, they're doing all kinds of things, Botox, ass injections, titty injections. What you naturally have, they're killing themselves. I keep repeating it. They're killing themselves to be like you. But you're more worried about them than you are about you. Black woman, queen of the universe, Alpha and the Omega. There's nobody greater than you. You can have it all. You can have every race of baby. Cause it's in you. You're the apex. Not the apex predator. You are the apex. You are the beginning. You are the highest level of whatever we're talking about. But you're still not focused in on you. You're focused in on those who are a pale imitation of you. I would ask why. I don't understand it, you know. And being a and this is how when you talk about secular logic, you're copying people who copy you. So, I mean, can you be a knockoff of your own original beauty? I mean, are you a knockoff of yourself? Is that possible? I don't know. It's weird to me, because cultural appropriation. You have a style and a grace. Can't be emulated. You say that they're stealing all the good men. I mean, I would say, do you want somebody who would not want you? No. So when you talk about they're stealing all the good men, I mean, would that guy be good for you? Probably not. But you're not looking at it like that. And then... I mean, I you hear sisters and they talk about men and how men do this, men do that. I mean, but what do you settle for? And I know if you don't settle for it, say maybe I won't get what I'm looking for. But my question is, what are you looking for? You know, there's the idealism, the ideal romance, and then there's the reality. I mean, you're being strong, and you're pushing hard, and you're flexing your muscles. But, you know, the woman is the unifier. No matter what happens, the woman is the unifier. There's no argument that woman is the stronger sex. I mean, there are some that'll argue and dispute it, but, you know, there's no man that can bleed for a week and live. There's no man whose back can open up and crack open the baby. We can't, we help in the conception part, but we can't carry and bring life to a term. And bring forth something beautiful. We're not capable of that, but you are. So if black women, and I'm not dissing a woman's music movement, but if black women are not with black men and just with black people in general spirit, who are you with? And who are you for? Because if we're not together, if we're not talking about merging and being together, that just means we're apart. And it has nothing to do with romance. It has nothing to do with cultural appropriation. It's just all about what's right, what's wrong. And us together is right on any and all levels. Us not together is wrong. And on that note, I am Mr. F the N Word. This was another Smooth Drama production. You know what it is. I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.